Hello. Today in the Loopcast, I have Juliet Jeske, the creator and producer behind Decoding Fox News. Really excellent podcast and Substack. And we are discussing Fox News. So why discuss Fox News? So one of the threads going into this show is this idea of normalizing extremism. So what happens when you take extreme talking points or ideas and you begin to kind of see normies and regular people kind of pick them up? And the reason I wanted to focus on Fox News for a show or two is I'm very online, right? I don't, as most of you know, I don't really watch TV other than, you know, X-Files or Columbo or other detective serials. And within my analysis, within the Loopcast analysis, this the role of cable TV and the role of Fox News was kind of a missing part, right? We hyper-focused on the online, on 4chan, 8chan, Reddit, and Twitter, but this huge part of the puzzle of this information ecosystem, Fox News, was missing. So today we're in conversation with Juliet, and we're going to kind of explore around and think about Fox News a bit. So with all that, please welcome my guest. How's it going?
It's good. I'm in Brooklyn. What up? I'm a Gen Xer in Brooklyn. Watch out. So, with two very loud cats. They're running back and forth through my apartment. So you might hear like, it's a cat.
That's awesome. Yeah. Big fans of cats here at the Loopcast. So I'm kind of a sucker for an origin story for like why somebody chose the field and the topic they chose. And I want to maybe start off with this idea of what is the origin story for decoding Fox News?
It's a little involved. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. My apologies.
Oh, no, it's fine. I was just going to ask, like, why focus on Fox News versus, like, CNN or MSNBC
Very specific reasons. So what happened was, I have to go back 6 years, but I will try to keep it as brief as possible. So in 2016, I wasn't a performer anymore in New York, but I had been one. And that is important for the story. And there was a woman who was a performer who I didn't know very well. Some of my friends worked with her. She became radicalized and started going on the Gavin McInnes show on a regular basis to be a guest. And that was concerning for people in New York because, like, what? It was 2016. This was the rise of the alt-right. And New York performance is pretty much incredibly LGBTQ and Black and brown and white. And, you know, it's not, it's very, very diverse. And so people felt really freaked out by this. And they suspected, there's a couple of people who were paying for subscriptions for the show. And there was a couple of people who were watching it. And I worked with video. And so they said, Juliet, can you help and just capture this and give us the video? Because they didn't know how to do it. Because they were literally watching it on their phones and stuff. These are performers, they're not technical people. And I said, sure, yeah, no problem. And so I started getting episodes of this person who I won't name because I don't care. And she's threatened to sue me and all this nonsense. So I started capturing her and really didn't have any interest in her. I was giving the footage to other people. But Gavin McInnes, I had extreme interest in because I was like, this man is dangerous. What he's saying is dangerous. And so I saw in real time, the Proud Boys form, the Proud Boys come together, the rules, the different stages of of how you like worked your way up into higher rankings of the Proud Boys, including the get arrested for the cause or get in a fight, which was a big, like the fourth stage of the Proud Boys. And that's horrible because you're incentivizing violence. So I started capturing more and more and more and more of him to the point that I would get entire episodes, cut them down and find chunks of him saying horrible things, mostly inciting violence. And I gave some of that to the FBI anonymously and nothing happened. And I even said, like, in my letter, like, I'm sure you're already watching this group, but, you know, yada, yada, yada. And they were pretty much useless. I had to deal with them later in 2018. So fast forward, it eventually start working with journalists because like FBI law enforcement was useless. And I built up a whole network of journalists who I was just giving footage to, and it was getting out little by little. And then there was an incident on the Upper East Side where some Proud Boys beat up some counter protesters. That blew everything up. And then suddenly my footage was everywhere and everybody wanted it. And I can't really get it too complicated into the story, but I ended up getting investigated because somebody thought a flash drive was, I sent out flash drives to the press and to some government officials on the same day that somebody sent out pipe bombs from Florida. That MAGA bomber was the same day. And so the governor of New York freaked out, thought it was completely flat, 2 ounce package, 2 ounce flat. It was a padded envelope. They thought that was a bomb or something because it had a tiny flash drive, like, you know, maybe a quarter, like maybe an inch long in it. And they freaked out over that. And I called them and was like, hi, yeah, I sent that. You guys know it's harmless. Oh yeah, we know it's harmless. We watched it. Oh, great, great. Talking to a police officer, think nothing of it. They show up at my apartment at 9 o'clock that night. I had four, you know, plainclothes detectives with guns in my apartment questioning me. They thought I was somehow attached to the group. And then they get here and they see books everywhere and cats. And they're like, I'm a nerd, people. I'm just like, this is just like a weird hobby that's gotten out of control. And then the press tried to force a story out of me. New York Daily News showed up at my apartment the next day and tried to force me to do a story. And I flipped out and was like, I'm anonymous. I want no part of this. They found out who I was because of the cops, because they heard me on the scan. They heard my address on the scanner and figured it out. So they showed up and I got rid of them. I had a total meltdown. And then that Saturday, there was the shooting at the synagogue in Pittsburgh. And I had a complete meltdown and was like, that's it. I'm going to change direction of my life. I'll go back to school and figure this out. I can't just drop what I'm doing. And so I ended up committing to go to grad school at that point, and then went to grad school, pandemic hit, all that fun stuff. And then the last 6 months of grad school, you work on something that's called like a capstone, which is like a thesis. And there was really no place for me in grad school. They didn't know what to do with somebody who did extremism, and they didn't know what to do with somebody who they were nice to me, but they don't really have a program for disinformation, misinformation, and extremism. They just don't know what to do. And so I was in the business program of all things. And, but you could do whatever you want for your capstone. So for my capstone, I watched Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, and One American News Network. And I compared them. I was looking for overlap over a 3 month period. So I watched like an hour a day, roughly. It was hundreds of hours. It ended up being like, I want to say like 450 hours or something total. And then I also watched PBS, guys, it's Thor, PBS for the same time frame, same 3 month period, because PBS was like my control because it's nonpartisan. So it's very like straight down the middle. And so I kind of compared how they covered things. And the biggest difference, and this was just dumb luck, is there happened to be this huge surge in COVID cases during this time. And I was able to track that, track how the different networks dealt with it, track how often they lied, track how often, this was a scary thing, how often Nick Fuentes overlapped with Tucker Carlson, which was disturbing. Because he'd openly say it like, oh, Tucker just, you know, and Nick Fuentes, if you don't, I'm sure your listeners know, is a white nationalist who shoots a show out of his parents' basement. He's a total nut job. But he would say things and Tucker Carlson would basically say them the next day. I wasn't the only person that noticed this. So I turn in my capstone and Jeff Jarvis, who teaches at my school, but was not my professor. I didn't really know him. I saw him at orientation and that kind of thing. And he knew my background. Like that's kind of how I got into grad school, as I told him this crazy story about the Proud Boys, because I ended up watching all 407 episodes of the Gavin McInnes Show. And I have copies of all 407 episodes and I picked them completely apart. I have like hundreds of clips of damning stuff, that Gavin McInnes said on camera. So, and it's super hyper organized. So, when I turned in my capstone and I turned all this media into data, so like graphs everywhere and everything like that. Jeff Jarvis loved it and said, I want to get you a grant, but will you cover Fox News? And I was like, yes. So I basically designed the same thing I did for my capstone, only it's all Fox. And the reason being is Fox has the most influence. Fox has the largest audience. And Fox is sort of taken as legitimate by many, even though it's not, in my opinion. And that's why he was like, let's go for it. And I know that there's Media Matters and there's plenty of other people that do what I do, but he just wanted like my take on it. And he thought it would be kind of cool to just have a singular focus. And so I this week is weird because there were supposed to be a January 6th committee hearing. So my schedule is different, but I normally go Fox and Friends, the five, and then one of the primetime shows, and I rotate the primetime shows. And the reason why I was asked to go after Fox and Friends and the Five is both of those shows are heavily influenced by Fox corporate. Fox corporate does not allow them to just go do whatever they want. I've been told, I mean, from what I've researched about it, and I don't know this like firsthand, but apparently like Fox and Friends is very strictly controlled by the big wigs at Fox. They don't just let them talk about whatever they want. Whereas the primetime shows can kind of do what they want, sort of. They're a little bit unfettered. So yeah, it's been a trip. And they asked me to do this because they knew I could sit through far-right media and not vomit. So or throw my computer out the window. I always joke about that. I'm gonna throw my computer out the window. So that's why Fox.
Interesting. So
yeah. Crazy long story, sorry about that, but yeah.
No, it's okay. So before we get into the next question, so as I said at the top of the show, I'm not somebody who watches a lot of cable TV. So if you can help me out. So Fox and Friends is kind of like the morning show.
Their morning show. Yeah. And it's got a cast of three. It's 3 hours long. I only watch the first hour because they tend to repeat. Like the first hour will basically be repeated, second hour and repeated third hour. They just break it up by having like guests on, but it's kind of the same news. It's very common in morning shows. They do that. And then the five is, I make fun of it all the time. The five is such a dumb show. It's the highest rated show on Fox News. It is the most popular show. Usually the ratings change, but it's solidly incredibly popular. Has a, I want to say 3 to 4 million viewership, which is enormous for cable news. It's five people sitting around a table, kind of like The View. One is a liberal. Judge Jeanine is usually a regular. And she's always humorous because she's nuts. And they just talk about like current events and they have segments. And they break it up. Like they'll talk about something for 7 minutes and then they move, you have a commercial break and they come back and they talk about something for 6 minutes, a commercial break, that kind of thing. And it's just incredibly inane. It's just really, really dumb. And it comes on at 5 p.m. So who's watching this show? You know, retirees, obviously. The average age of a Fox viewer is 68. So Tucker Carlson skews younger. He's got the younger demographic that the other primetime shows can't really get. Yeah, the five is just, it's so dumb. It's like they literally have segments where they're like, I like candy. What's your favorite kind of candy? And they'll go around the table and talk about it. And I'm just like, oh, because it's just stupid, but it's super popular. And what's funny about the five is it's usually five incredibly uninformed people talking about something. Like when they talk about, like, I don't know, something like, oh, we don't like Biden. Okay, fine. They can talk about that. But like during the Ukraine war, when the Ukraine war first broke out and they talk about it on the five, it was just embarrassing because they didn't know what they were talking about. And they would try to like sound intelligent and they're saying stuff. It's just like every other person was basically calling for World War III. They're like, you know, we should just get in there and just start bombing. And I'm like, no, no, we can't do that. So that's how the five is. It's kind of like The View, only conservative and dumber. So
that's,
and then the primetime shows are the primetime shows. So
conservative view, but dumber.
Dumber.
That's really hard to imagine. I'm sorry.
I know, but and the joke is the Five hates The View, and they show clips from The View all the time, and they're like, "Look at these monsters on The View," and I'm like, "No self-awareness. We have no self-awareness, do we? You are The View, you idiots. You're the same show." So, yeah.
I kind of like the idea. I like the idea that you almost make it seem like the Five is beefing with The View, and The View doesn't know that it's being beefed with.
Well, it is funny that Fox in general, I was tweeting about this yesterday because I thought it was funny. Fox is number one. They beat everybody in the ratings. They beat everybody in the ratings like year after year after year. They know they beat everybody because they're like the only like crazy conservative voice on cable television. CNN is kind of drifting, but which is not great, but drifting towards the right. But Fox has always been right wing. Yet they are insane, and they're the highest paid people on cable television too. That's a fun fact. Because once you go Fox, you can't really go towards another network. Very few journalists have been able to make that leap. Very few journalists have been able to have a career on Fox and then leave and still have a career. Because what happens is you get tarnished with this propaganda kind of sheen, and nobody else wants to touch you. Megyn Kelly is probably the best example of just, she could not get anything going once she left Fox. She tried, but she couldn't get rid of the Fox of her. You know, she kept pushing this crazy right-wing stuff and failed miserably. But they're paid really well, but they're crazy, crazy insecure. So if anybody comes out with like an article that criticizes them, or Brian Stetler had a book that criticized them, that's actually a great book. He was the guy on CNN who just got laid off because CNN again is drifting towards the right. They get very angry and they get very indignant, like, how dare you? How dare you? And they get like all very, very mad. Yet on every Fox show, they regularly, as a habit, show clips from MSNBC, CNN, The View, pretty much any other media. They love to show clips from other media and lambast it and say, see how biased this is, see how horrible this is, look at this propaganda. And yet you can't criticize Fox. So they do that all the time, which is they just don't seem to get that, like, they show clips from other media pretty much every show. And I don't know if I haven't watched The View in forever, but I don't know if I ever remember a segment on The View where they showed clips from Fox. I don't ever remember that. And they may have, I don't know. But so that's the thing that's funny about Fox. They criticize everybody else, but you can't criticize them. Or if you do, it's like, oh my God, it's nuts.
So then when we think about Fox News, I mean, news is in the name of the company, but at the same time, like this, it almost seems like they're kind of sitting in between news and entertainment or performance. So I was wondering if you could kind of analyze Fox from that perspective, not just kind of the conveyor of news and the sort of communicator of news, but sort of how they integrate entertainment and performance in that communication.
Well, Tucker was sued. Tucker Carlson was sued, and he actually said, one of the arguments that was actually said in court was like nobody would take him seriously. That people, he claimed that his viewers would just know that his show is more entertainment than it is news. And he actually won the lawsuit partly because of that angle. So that's actually come up. I think the main thing that they do that's different from like regular media or like nonpartisan media is they just blatantly ignore stories. That's a common Fox trick. They just, if it doesn't fit with their worldview, they just don't mention it. So they tend to do a lot of repetition, and that they'll hit the same theme over and over and over and over and over again. And it's a lot of fear, and it's a lot of panic and paranoia, and they're coming for you. They're coming for you. The end of times, you know, everything's going to collapse. Like once I heard Tucker in one monologue say, he was talking about crime and he said the end of civilization like four times in one monologue. And that's a bit extreme. You're talking about urban crime and yet you're like, and this is going to lead to the end of civilization, like always going all the way to that edge of crazy. And so that's what they do. They just work up their viewers to it's like frenzy and of panic and fear and persecution complexes. And it's always, you know, like they're coming for you. They're coming for you, viewer. And people, they've done studies where people will watch Fox all day long. They don't turn it off. Whereas people will watch one show on MSNBC or one show on CNN and then they move on. Fox viewers will keep that thing on all day. And so, which kind of explains why the ratings are so high, because they just like just go from one show to the other. But it's definitely, that's the part where I would call it like entertainment, is it's all sensational all the time. It's like reading a tabloid sort of. It's never, oh, here's a crime story in New York City. It's always like the end of the world is happening now. You know, it's just heightened. One time they used, it's the cats. I'm sorry. They're just going to keep doing this. They're just running back and forth. Odin and Thor. Anyway, those are my cats. So one time they took it's like a 30 second clip of a 16-year-old in an altercation with a police officer. And what had happened was kid didn't have a weapon or anything. The kid was trying to go through the turnstile. Cop stopped him and the kid massively overreacted. It was all on camera and just started pummeling the cop. And the kid had priors, but because it was a child, this person was a child, they didn't put him in jail. They just gave him a court date. And of course, Fox went to town with this. And I'm like, so you want to put a 16-year-old in jail? Like, I don't think anybody wants a 16-year-old in jail. Because he didn't have a weapon. He was just being stupid and trying to beat up a cop, which was dumb because you're going to get in trouble for that. And, but Fox showed this 30-second clip hour after hour after hour for the entire week. They kept bringing this up. It was complete. That's the kind of what they do with they just hype everything up. I actually went through that particular week and went through after I watched everything, I noticed this clip just being used way too much. And so I'm like, I'm going to go back through and actually count how many minutes that was on screen. And it was on screen for the week for 25 minutes. This is a 30-second clip. It made no sense. And it was just because to Fox, that was like the red meat that you saw the cop was black too, but the teenager was also black. But that you got to see this young black kid beating up a cop. And that to Fox is like, they just rule over that. And it just felt so excessive. I'm like, this is a local news story. There's no reason to put this on national television. The kid nobody got really hurt. The kid's fine. The cop's fine. Kid will probably just go to juvenile detention center at some point. Hopefully he'll get the help he needs. But yeah. That's Fox. They just, everything's massively hyped up.
So is it fair to kind of argue or to kind of point out that Fox News stresses a narrative over the news, that it's...
Oh, completely, 100%.
Oh, go ahead.
100%. Yeah. They don't, like I said, climate change stories are completely ignored. Anything with climate disasters are completely ignored. They ignored Fiona. I compared them to PBS. PBS featured 11% of their coverage was dedicated to Hurricane Fiona. Fox dedicated 1% to Hurricane Fiona. Yet they have really doubled down on Hurricane Ian because it hit Florida. And it was a much bigger storm, but still it was like, oh, so you just ignore it when brown people get hit by a hurricane. I get it. Because Puerto Rico, they act like doesn't even exist. They also ignore any story, and this, I have a pattern of this, I could go back and show it, of when a black person is victimized by law enforcement, or any sort of trial where a black person is victimized, like Ahmaud Arbery, who was out jogging, that case. So from February, I started this project in mid-February. So from mid-February till now, anytime a case like that, or Breonna Taylor, like there was some of the officers in that finally got indicted, Fox didn't report on it. When the George Floyd cops had various trials, they've had various trials this summer, you know, things would move along with their trials. It wasn't just the one trial of Derek Chauvin. They'd had multiple, the other cops also had trials. Fox ignored all of that. Ahmaud Arbery's, you know, the people who murdered him, there were additional federal trials, and PBS reported on it, and Fox completely ignored it. Another one they did that was very telling, Brittany Griner, the WNBA player in Russia, who's stuck in Russia. That story was completely ignored on Fox. Didn't mention it for weeks until they found a way to leverage it against Biden. And then they brought it up. And I thought, you know, this is not a new story. This has been going on for weeks. They also ignore Israel-Palestine, just will not report on anything that happens there. Either side, they just completely ignore it, which is odd. They just ignore it. They haven't reported on the Iran protests, which is that one just blows my mind that you wouldn't, that's such a great story. They don't report on it. Anything that happens in Africa, they don't report on it. Like, it's just, they just hit the same notes over and over and over again. If Biden is crazy and stupid, yet a mastermind, and senile and in cognitive decline, and then it's always that, and it's like, everybody's starving in the U.S. Everybody's on the brink of poverty. Everybody's, you know, one step away from financial ruin because of this terrible economy. They hype all that up. And there are people like that, of course. I'm not saying they're not. But Fox acts like everyone in the country is like on the brink. And, you know, they just ignore stories about racism. They act like racism doesn't exist. They also push, I've seen a trend where they push stories. I've seen them do this a few times where they'll have a Black person who's successful in their life in some way. And so they'll do a segment and it's always like, this young man just became a basketball player and then his life was great. And he never saw any obstacles in life. Did he? No, I didn't. Racism's never brought up, like the fact, you know, never brought up. It's always just like, I just pulled myself up by my bootstraps and I became a success. And they'll push that. Like, I've seen that story a few times on Fox. So that's what they do. And, you know, racism, sexism, they openly trash. This is another thing they do that's very disturbing. They openly, brazenly trash trans people. They do not hold that in at all. They're more dog whistle gay people. Like, the LGBTQ community is kind of subtly dissed, but trans people, they will just go straight. Bigoted comments, you know, they imply they're all child molesters, which is complete craziness, that they're coming for your children. They're going to warp your children. Everything's a conspiracy. The schools are all CRT, you know, the schools are all programming you, your kids, to hate you and to hate the family. They push cultural Marxism, that goofy conspiracy theory, very, very hard. Sometimes they blatantly say the term cultural Marxism. So it's just one big, everything's a conspiracy, everything's out to get you. Again, fear, 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 panic, 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 paranoia. That over and over and over again, no matter what, that's what they push. So any given day, I could find a story that would fit what I just described. Kitty. Sorry, they're so loud right now. I don't know if you can hear them, but
it's okay. So, I mean, what you're kind of hinting at is a consistency. I mean, like, it almost seems like that consistency would kind of imply that you have the same set of producers, writers, and then the producers and the writers get together and sort of craft a consistent narrative going from, you know, Fox and Friends to whatever the primetime shows are. Is that accurate? Like,
they would claim that that's not what happens. They get very defensive about this because other people have pointed it out. And the primetime shows are given more leeway. And there is kind of a difference in tone between like Jesse Waters primetime, Tucker Carlson, Hannity, and Ingram. there is like a tonal shift, but they're similar. Tucker Carlson being the craziest. He's the most extreme by far. But like last week is a great example. They did that whole ESG investing, which is environmental, social and governance, sort of like ethical investing. And it is what it is. There are critics of it. There's some controversy over ESG. It's basically, I don't want to waste too much time talking about ESG, but it's like basically a way a pension fund or an investor looking to invest in a company can say, does this company line up with my personal beliefs and values? And then they can check something called an ESG score. And it's kind of arbitrary, but there are groups that keep track of the scores and there's criteria for the scores. Like, do they pollute? Do they make weapons? Do they have good labor practices? And then you can say, ah, this company has a good ESG score. I'm going to invest my money in this company. Okay. It's totally voluntary. Now, you can't control what a pension fund does necessarily if you're a pensioner, but an individual investor doesn't have to do anything they don't want to do. If you want to invest all of your money in Exxon and, gun manufacturers, you can't. No one will stop you. Absolutely no one will stop an individual investor from doing that. So last week, I noticed a trend of a lot of these goofy ESG stories about ESG, because the UN had a general assembly meeting, and it's sort of related to the UN, sort of indirectly ESG is. So I saw them do these segments on ESG across every single show. And you could tell that they didn't really want to do them because they were just dumb segments of like, ESG is evil and it's bad and it's the globalists coming for you. But it didn't feel like anybody had any passion in these segments, and they didn't seem to care. Like when you see them do stuff about crime, stuff about trans people, you see passion, right? Because they probably, the anchors actually feel emotionally invested in it. But with ESG, it felt fake. It felt like they were being told to do segments on it. And you just, like I said, you'll see the same clip, like that 30 second clip of the crime story of this kid beating up a cop. And you would see that same clip on all three shows. Like, you're going to tell me you're not coordinating this? Like, or yesterday, because of the hurricane, there was a clip from The View where somebody on The View said, basically, DeSantis complains about the federal government. Now he's going to come begging for money. And yet he's going to deny climate change. And I'm paraphrasing. I don't actually know exactly what she said. It was Sunny said that on The View. And that same clip was used in show after show after show after show. So don't tell me you're not coordinating. It's ridiculous. Of course you're coordinating. But they would claim that they're not. They always get defended. Oh, we're not told what to say. How dare you? Like, I don't believe you. So just because, again, I see these similarities all the time and I see repetition all the time and basically the same. Like if you watch one Fox show, you watch the next Fox show, you're going to see a lot of the same stuff. It's just how they do it. And I don't know why their viewers don't get sick of it, but that's what they do.
So then these themes and narratives, like this is kind of a basic question, but where are they coming from? I mean, you earlier in our conversation, you kind of pointed out the connection between Nick Fuentes and the Tucker Carlson show. So, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard of the kind of the caterpillar or the, from 4chan to Reddit to Twitter to Fox News. But, just in your research, how do you situate Fox News within the greater right-wing information ecosystem? Are they the ones generating the narratives and then they get distributed in the ecosystem? Or are they kind of narratives are coming to them and they're just reproducing those narratives for cable TV?
I think it's both. I think they're feeding it and they get fed it. I think in the case of Tucker Carlson, I do not have any proof, but I suspect based on his content that he has at least a couple of people on his staff that watch people like Nick Fuentes. And they would deny this, of course, but he just parrot so much of that super far right rhetoric and conspiracy theories more than the other shows. And that if there's any sort of conspiracy theory that Tucker, I see Tucker promoting, I can go on my computer, Google it, and I'll find it deeper within the bowels of the far right. And it's usually by the time it gets to Tucker, it's old. It's like a couple weeks old, sometimes just a few days old. But by the time it gets to Tucker, it's already been out in the universe a little bit. So in that term, they're definitely getting fed the garbage. But in other terms, they will push things so hard and they are so influential. They're like the biggest monster in that whole scene that when they push something, it gets echoed backward into the far right. So it's like they're both feeding each other. It's this machine. And again, I think Fox is dangerous because it does have this enormous, enormous audience, and somebody like Nick Fuentes doesn't. And somebody like 8chan, as disturbing as 8chan was, doesn't have as big of a reach. It's very fringe. But when you get it into the mouthpiece of Fox, now you've got a problem. And there's some stuff, and it's a little complicated too, because like I have Gavin McGinnis kept talking about a book by Pat Buchanan called Death of the West. And I bought it because he kept saying how it was like, I got a used copy. I have a bunch of far right books and they're all used. That way the author doesn't get my money. But I bought a used copy, and this book was written over 20 years ago. Pat Buchanan is considered a mainstream conservative, right? He ran for president. Like, he was on CNN all the time. He was considered a mainstream pundit. His book is basically white nationalism. It is incredibly racist. It is paranoid. It is cultural Marxism, which he talks about at length, which is a goofy anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. It is promoting white babies and has all this fear-mongering about population change and shift and demographic changes. And this was considered a completely mainstream book that nobody called him out on over 20 years ago when it was published that, hey, this is straight up, you know, neo-Nazism, what you're promoting in this book. But he got away with it. And that's kind of how Fox works, and that they can take a Nick Fuentes concept, put it on Fox, and somebody like Tucker can tweak it in such a way that it becomes legitimized. And then it's just completely accepted. One of the things I've seen, even super, super boring, legitimate Fox reporters, Shannon Bream, I hope I'm getting her name right. Bream is her last name. She's not somebody I cover often, so I hope I'm getting her name right. But she is one of the more mainstream, like normal, straight down the middle. Well, not really straight down the middle, but like for Fox, straight down the middle journalists. And she parroted the goofy, they're going to make us eat bugs conspiracy theory that is big on the far right, which is this whole concept of like, things are going to get so bad, the government's going to encourage the average person to eat bugs. What? And they'll claim that like Beyond Meat, which is made out of pea protein, like a plant, they'll claim that that's made out of bugs. It's like, okay, what? So like, and I heard her say that, like, they're going to make us eat bugs. And I'm like, what? And I've heard Tucker say that a bunch of times. So that's just a straight up conspiracy theory from the far right. So I've seen the goofy stuff about Bill Gates buying all the farmland when he really owns less than 1/3 of 1% of the US farmland. That's been pushed on Fox. So yeah, it gets blurry, but they are really problematic because people buy into every single word they say. That's the scary thing. They think it's completely legitimate.
So, I mean, is the verb laundering like useful here? Like Fox News is kind of laundering extremist talking points into the mainstream? Or how do you, like what I find fascinating is that some of the bits of Tucker that I watched prior to this interview were on the great replacement theory.
Oh yeah, he's big on that.
And the only time that I've ever run into the great replacement theory was literally far right thinking and literally eco-fascism and sort of those threads. So then I'm sort of curious, I mean, do we consider Fox News to be laundering extremist talking points into the mainstream, or is there a recognition at Fox that yes, this is extreme, but this is what gets the ratings?
Well, it's interesting because The Great Replacement is pretty much the Pat Buchanan book, The Death of the West, which there's also a book written during the time of the Nazis called The Decline of the West, which is a very famous book that the Nazis loved. And somebody else just came out with a book with basically the same title, some British dude. It's basically like The End of the West or something stupid like that. And it's basically The Great Replacement. And again, that was my issue with it, is like that was considered mainstream and normal and nobody called Pat Buchanan on it. So that's where it gets a little blurry about like, does Fox News know they're pushing something extreme? I don't know. I know that they are obsessed with ratings and they want to keep the ratings up all the time. And like Hannity has really slipped in the ratings. He used to be like the highest and he's been there the longest. He's the highest paid person on Fox News, but he really has slipped in the ratings, partly because he's more old school. He doesn't push conspiracy theories. He doesn't push the extremism as much. And Tucker doesn't care. Tucker's gone full tinfoil hat. Like, you know, he has specials on Fox Nation where he talks about cattle mutilations and UFOs, you know, and just stuff that's really out there. And, you know, UFOs, I know, weirdly has become blurry in the past couple of years, like what's going on with UFOs. But some of his cattle mutilation, I mean, the cattle mutilation, I'm like, why are you wasting time on that? But so they were just talking about Bigfoot the other day on The Five. So it just, some of it gets a little like, I don't know. I honestly don't know if they realize what gets the ratings and what doesn't. I think they just look at the ratings. And somebody like Tucker figured out this panicked delivery where he just comes out and does these crazy, because New York Times did a great piece where they followed him for like 5 years. They had a whole team break down everything he said and did for 5 freaking years. And one thing, the trend they found that I wouldn't have been able to find in the time that I followed him, is that a few years ago, he didn't have like these crazy 20-minute monologues at the start of his show. They were more normal, you know, maybe do like a 6-minute monologue. And he had guests that didn't always agree with him. And now you never see a guest ever disagree with somebody on Fox. You sometimes will see somebody get in there and go rogue. It's usually like a normal person. Like they'll have like a business owner will come on and talk about like, oh, you know, in Atlanta, we're dealing with inflation. And then they'll turn to the person and say, well, is it Biden's fault, right? Biden, right? And the person will be like, no, I don't think it's Biden's fault. So you sometimes see that if the person's not a political pundit, you'll see a guest go rogue. But on Tucker's show, like it's like this philosophy almost that he pushes. And so he'll start his show with a 15, I've seen the longest I've seen is 26 minutes, uninterrupted monologue with just Tucker Carlson talking to you. And he might have media clips, but he doesn't have a guest and it's just him. And it's all part of this, it's almost like a preacher, you know? And it is definitely like a sermon, like, you know, follow me children, here I will tell you a tale. And it's all about paranoia and how we're on the brink of collapse and everything's going to break down and the government's going to come and get you and they're going to take your guns. And then he has a lot of like, we've got to fight back, like underneath, which is dangerous, very, 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 very dangerous. And he more than the other primetime host has that. And I don't know, it's like kind of chicken and the egg with the ratings or not. I don't know does he know that gets him higher ratings? I don't know. Or does he just like really like doing that and his ratings are high? I don't know. I couldn't figure that one out. But he does have the highest ratings usually. It's either him or weirdly Jesse Waters, and Jesse Waters is a complete idiot. So I don't know how. Jesse Waters' show is very different than Tucker's. And so I'm always like, I think Jesse Waters just has a good time slot. Like I don't know if it's I don't, he does not come across as like the same mastermind as Tucker. Tucker's scary. Tucker genuinely scares me. I'm terrified there's going to be an event like we had in Buffalo where the guy was like really into the great replacement theory and he just shot a bunch of black people and openly said, yeah, I was really into the great replacement theory. And everybody just went, oh, well, you know, whatever. Fox didn't do it. You know, like Fox just took no responsibility. And I joked the other day that somebody could like wear a t-shirt that says, I love Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson made me do it, and have like every book by Tucker Carlson in his bookshelf and have like a fan club dedicated to Tucker Carlson and go somewhere, shoot a bunch of people. And Tucker Carlson would say, well, just a mentally ill person. You know, they would never take responsibility. That's the scary thing. But the way Tucker talks to people and the way he gets them all riled up, he causes me great concern. He's the one that scares me the most, definitely, 100%.
That's interesting. Like, I think about the monologue and somebody speaking to the audience, and the first thing that my mind jumps to is like Rush Limbaugh, mm-hmm. or in the beginning of the 20th century, Father Conklin. I think I'm mispronouncing that, and I apologize. But that's crazy. Like that transition from a 6-minute monologue to a 20-minute monologue where I'm assuming he's looking right at the camera. So,
yeah.
I mean, is.
And he's scary. The other thing that's really scary about Tucker is having to, cause I sometimes will like score his monologues. He more than the other primetime hosts, you can clock him where he'll talk about something for exactly 2 minutes, then 1 minute, then 4 minutes, then 1 minute, then like perfect timing. He's scary. His segments are perfectly timed every time. And most hosts can't do that. And he can do it. And his monologues are the same way. And that he writes them in such a way, him and his team, I cannot imagine he does this by himself. There's too much going on with his monologues that it's one person doing it. But they write them in such a way that it's just like this, it's like orchestrated. It's like mechanical almost. And it's, they're freaky. Cause it's like Fuentes, when you watch him, he's so sloppy, you know, cause Fuentes will be half of I have tracked him and I've watched 107 hours of Nick Fuentes. Ha ha. And half of his content is just him whining. Like, Mom, God, I had chicken fingers tonight. I hate chicken fingers. Give me some tendies, Mom. God, I'm so hungry. Like, that's half his show, is this whiny little brat. And then he goes into his anti-Semitism and his hate and all that crazy stuff. But he's sloppy. Somebody like Tucker's not sloppy. You know, Tucker's shows are like these well-orchestrated machines. And yeah, it's kind of like a sermon. It's like a, because he definitely has a consistent philosophy that you don't like. Hannity is like, his big push all the time is climate change isn't happening. He calls it the climate alarmist religious cult, and he'll just repeat that phrase over and over and over and over again. And Laura Ingraham's obsessed with China. She hates China. Everything's China. Everything's like China plotting against us. And then Tucker has this bizarre defense mechanism for Russia, where Russia can't do anything wrong and Ukraine's evil and Putin's a good guy. That's just so weird. And then Jesse Waters is just kind of trying to find his way. He doesn't really have I don't really see much of a theme yet with him. He just keeps kind of grasping for stuff every week. But yeah, Tucker scares me. Tucker reminds me of like, if you watch some of the old school white supremacists when they talk, although Tucker's a little bit dog whistle, like he had a habit, and I would catch these and stick it on Twitter. He had a habit, he stopped doing this, but I'm sure he'll do it again, where he would make a little aside in the middle of a monologue. It would just be a real quick comment. Like he made one where he said, George Floyd, just toss this out. Oh, he died of a heart attack. It was from drugs. You know, just toss that out. Or one time he said, oh, when the US, we aligned with Stalin in World War II. Like that was a bad thing. You know, it's like, well, who did we align with Stalin against. Oh, that would be Nazis. Like, what are you saying? Like, he just tossed these little things out, like these little pieces of meat to his extremist base. One time I saw him go on this whole George Soros rant with DAs, and then he veered into a discussion of a specific a district attorney in Florida, in Tampa, that had gotten kind of fired by DeSantis. And he said, this was very, very coded. And it takes somebody like a nerd like me who's watching it like a scientist, like somebody who's just looking for a crack to catch this. I don't think most viewers would have caught it. But he said, he showed a clip of the local DA reading a Bible quote. And Tucker Carlson goes, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. How dare he read that? And I thought, that's an odd reaction. And I thought, is this DA an atheist or something? Is he like very anti-religion? Like, what is this DA? So I Googled the DA. Oh, DA is Jewish. Interesting that you would find it disgusting that you read a Bible quote. Now, an extremist watching Tucker Carlson show would know immediately that that DA was Jewish and would immediately read the code. Whereas your typical Fox viewer wouldn't catch that. But I did. And I was disgusted. I mean, I remember that week in the podcast, I was just screaming about it. I was like, dude, that's just straight up anti-Semitism, and you're not even hiding it. You don't care. But again, like probably 90% of the people who watch the show would not catch that. So, cause it was, he's careful. It's like under layers of stuff, but when he just like got really animated and just how disgusting that he would read a Bible quote from the Gospels. And the quote was, do unto others as you would do unto yourself. And it was during COVID. And he was, the DA had shut down a church that kept having services at the height. It was like April 2020, when everybody was dying. And, you know, the DA had shut down the church saying, you can't have services right now. And he had said, do unto others. And Tucker took that as like disgusting that a Jewish DA would make this comment. So he didn't say Jewish, but yeah, it didn't take much to figure that out either. So, and that's the other scary thing. The extremist, one of the things that you learn when you study extremism that's will make your blood cold is, if you've done this yourself at all, they will have lists on these groups about who's Jewish. And they don't hide it. They'll literally go like, here are all the DAs in the United States that are Jewish. And they'll have their names, they'll have where they work. Or here are all the Jewish members of Congress. Here are all the Jewish members in the Senate. They do that all the time. I've seen those lists. Terrifying, because I know what they're doing that for. So yeah. Anyway, so it's kind of a long way of getting to the point, but yes.
But there's no acceptance of responsibility or recognition of responsibility. It's just like, whatever.
And he would... Like he said in court when he got sued that one time, he just said, oh, I'm just an entertainer. Nobody takes me seriously. You know, and like Hannity doesn't call himself a journalist, has never called himself a journalist. But I don't think Hannity is nearly as dangerous. So Hannity is more old school conservative. None of them really come close to the rhetoric of Tucker. Tucker is in his own league, unfortunately.
That's interesting, like leaning on the idea that I'm just an entertainer, not a journalist. It actually says like, I don't really have any public responsibility or any responsibility to the public interest. I'm just entertaining you. Is that in the ballpark?
Okay. Yeah, completely, 100%. And they, what's also interesting is they all of them trash journalists all the time. They trash other journalists all the time. Call us mouthpieces for the Biden administration or what's even funnier is that people sometimes think I'm like shilling for Biden because I'm constantly defending him because Fox just blatantly lies about him. And I'm like, I don't really have much of an opinion about Biden. I'm kind of neutral. I just have to, when they lie about him, I'm just going to correct it. I'm sorry. So it may come across that I'm shilling for Biden, but I'm just like, they're lying again, you know, that kind of thing of like, they used to say this for months that Biden was for defund the police, and Biden has been very, very, very outspoken that he's against defund the police, and he has been since day one. And I found a clip going all the way back from like June 2020 where Biden explicitly said, I am not for defund the police, but Fox will just lie. So, you know, when I make a video like about that, somebody, oh, you're shilling for Biden. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just correcting the record. I don't really don't have strong feelings about Biden either way. I'm just like, he's the president. It's fine. Like, I just don't like when you get into extremism, you can't really like, I can't watch MSNBC right now. I just can't. Cause I watch the flip side so much, watching Fox so much. It just, I can only take like PBS because PBS goes out of their way to be nonpartisan. So, and I love PBS. I think they do a great job. They do wonderful segments, very in-depth, very comprehensive, and they're very calm. You watch Fox, everybody's all worked up all the time, and you watch PBS and they're like, we're going to do a segment about, and everything's like super chill, very professional. And I'm like, ah, oh. You know, even when they have opposing voices on, which they do often, everybody's very respectful and very calm. And I'm like, thank you, PBS. Like, brings me down. But I couldn't watch partisan media right now on the other side. I just can't. It's just too much. It's too much for me to handle.
That's interesting. I kind of want to expand on that a bit. And, you know, what is the toll, if any, of watching Fox News for 15 hours a day? You know,
it's,
I think
a week. It's a week. Thank God it's only a week. 15 hours a week. But
15 hours a week. Okay.
A day would be nuts. Oh my God. Yeah. I would be like,
I was worried. I was like, 15
I'd
hours
watch
a day.
The really stupid 15 hours a day, I'd be watching the really dumb shows they have on late at night. Because they do have some really dumb shows, especially weekends, they have really dumb shows. Really, really dumb shows. No, 15 hours a week. I think that it's taken all the sharp edges off my own politics. I really distrust extremism now on both sides. And I've learned to just bite my tongue now. I don't get in fights with people. That's the other thing, is I don't get as combative with people anymore, because what I just have to deal with that all day long, that when I disagree with someone, I'm just like, whatever. You know, I just don't want to engage in that kind of crazy, frenetic, like constantly fighting thing. I just don't see the point. And the other thing is that, like, here's an example. And I know people have very strong feelings about this, but like rhetoric like this, I don't care for, because when you watch how it's used and weaponized against the left, you see rhetoric differently. So when somebody says, and I won't say anybody specifically, and I understand, I'm not saying I completely disagree with them, but if somebody says something like, human beings don't belong in cages, and they mean like abolish prison, and they mean actually abolishing prison. And you go, okay, that's your feeling. That's cool. I know that that clip will be played on a loop on Fox News, and they will bring on crime victims who talk about how they were raped, how they were kids were murdered, how, you know, my house was broken into and they burned it down and they raped my wife and they killed my kids. How dare you say that person doesn't belong in a cage? Boom. That's what's going to happen with that clip. Or another one I use all the time, because it just made me roll my eyes really hard. And this is just like performative, crazy stuff. But there was a few years ago, there was a woman who did some sort of protest where she took period blood that she collected from herself, like menstrual blood, and put it on her face to like raise awareness. And this got a lot of play on Twitter, and people were posting it all over the place. And most people were just kind of making fun of her. And I thought, okay, that would just be completely weaponized on Fox. And they'd be like, see how crazy liberals are? And they'll take somebody that extreme, that performative, and they act like that person's mainstream. And that's why I'm not really a huge fan of that kind of rhetoric, because I just know how it's used against the other side. And so I don't fight with people. That if they want to say people don't belong in cages, they can. Great, go for it. But I'm not going to cheer that on either, because I just go, oh, if you only knew, you know. And the other thing is, one thing that's changed a lot about my politics is like people who are super, super, super critical of the Democrats who are left wing. And I totally understand. I get where they're coming from. Everybody should be criticized. Nobody's above criticism. Got it. You have every right to express your views. And of course, you can complain about the Democrats all you want. However, do you understand that there's this thing called the right wing that is mechanized, that has a lot of money, that has a lot of influence and a lot of power, that would take us all the way back to like the 1880s, if they could, all the way back. Women would have no rights. You know, all people of color would have no rights. Gay people would be completely ostracized again. If they could get away with it, they would do that. Please remember that before you start complaining about a bill where you weren't happy about one little part of it and you're picking on, you know, Chuck Schumer, which I get. I'm, you know, Chuck Schumer said things that make me very angry and that sort of thing. But there's a kind of thing of like, I get what you're doing. I understand what you're doing. But if you're spending more time ripping on your own party, I wouldn't. If you watch right-wing media for just a few hours, you'd understand why I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon, because I know this monster that's on the other side and how powerful it is and how influential it is and how good they are at propaganda. And so that's, I think, where I've shifted a great deal. And I do think, I've said this before, I told Jeff Jarvis this, the guy who put my grant together, I feel like the DNC, with all their flaws, and trust me, I occasionally meet people who tell me they don't like either party, and I'm like, I totally get it. Like, I'm not gonna fight with them and be like, oh, come on. Like, when I hear people go, I hate politics, I don't care about either party, I don't pay attention, I go, I get it. I'm not gonna fight with you on that at all. I totally understand why you'd be disgusted with both parties. And we have a two-party system, which is incredibly frustrating for people on both sides. I totally get it. But when I meet somebody who, you know, is just, you know, just, I feel like the DNC should have 6 people on staff minimum that just watch Fox News all day long and take notes. Because if you want to fight back against that monster, you have to know what that monster is doing. You cannot live in darkness. And I think the problem with the left is it becomes an echo chamber and people just kind of stay in their little echo chamber and they just watch partisan media and they only interact with people they agree with. And it becomes this kind of weird ecosystem. The right does it too. Both sides do this. And so you completely lose perspective of how much of a danger MAGA is, or the right-wing media machine. You don't realize what they're doing. You know, like when people were shocked when Roe v. Wade got overturned, I was not shocked at all. I, you know, as soon as Trump won the presidency, I pretty much assumed we were going to probably lose Roe v. Wade. Not that I was happy about it, but I just accepted, like, we're screwed. It's going to happen. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, I was like, that's it. And people were like, completely like, how did this happen? I'm like, it's been happening for almost 50 years, guys. And I'm sorry, but like, if you consume right-wing media, you'd know they were just determined to make this happen. And it's horrible, but yeah, I mean, that's sort of what it's, I just think it's definitely, you don't have like a, I think the biggest payment I kind of make in my life is that there's no rose colored glasses at all. If you watch this much rhetoric, you have a very realistic way of looking at everything, very pragmatic. It's not like, I just think in terms of like, what can we get done? Not what would be the perfect solution. I'm just like, what legislation can we get passed with this Congress right now, rather than we need everything we want in this bill. And if I don't get it, I'm going to freak out. It's like, what can we get passed with this Congress? You know, we have a filibuster. What can we get, you know, like, so it's just sharpened the edges off. It's just, I just view the real enemy. And that to me is the right-wing media monster, to me, is the real enemy, not imperfect Democrats. Like, no, to me, that's not the monster, but you know, people can disagree with me. That's fine. I don't really care. It's the other thing. It's like, I say on my podcast all the time, I'm like, you can disagree with me. This is not my opinion show. That's fine. I'm not like one of those, they tend to all be white men, but like those guys on YouTube that are like young 20, like late 20s, early 30s, who just have like political opinion shows. Yeah, I don't, it's not what I do. So I break down right-wing media.
Awesome. So I think we've been kind of talking, going back and forth for about an hour.
I'm sorry, I talk way too much.
it's great. It's really great. And I think we've come to the last question, the legendary last question, which is, before we depart for the day, give me, the audience, the show, something to think about, something to chew on. It could be as simple as, you know, a phrase, or it could be, you know, a you know, kind of longer form thought. You know, give us something to think about for the before we leave for the day.
My philosophy, and this is something that I definitely picked up from doing this kind of work, is worship no one. Put no one on a pedestal, worship no ideology, worship no theory, worship nothing. Always have a critical mind, even if you think like a political way of thought is brilliant or really wonderful. Always keep in mind that there's going to be flaws, that, you know, there's nothing perfect in this world. If you get, like, let's say you have like the perfect plan for healthcare, always know that there's going to be losers in that care, in that plan. Always know there's going to be some people who are going to be angry about it. Like, just, that's kind of how I see things. I think worshiping people, putting them on pedestals, treating ideology like it's perfect, like it's a religion, is incredibly dangerous. And it can happen on both sides of the spectrum. And that's what I would warn anyone from doing. And that's, like, my niece teases me all the time because she always says, I don't like any politician. And I don't think that's true. I just say, I don't worship any politician. Like, even people I vote for, I'm always like, well, but, and I'll, you know, say, well, I didn't like it when she said that, or when he said that, or whatever, you know, this, because nobody's perfect. And I think extremism is when you turn things into perfect, when you turn things into gods, like MAGA, when you turn people and themes and ideas into, like, if we do this, we'll have a utopia. If we do this, we'll have perfection. If we do this, all our problems will be solved. That's never true. Never true. And also, we always have a pendulum. So the more we push one side, the more the other side will push back. And you have to expect the pushback. The other thing that you see a lot in the right wing and in extremism is this idea that they will crush and vanquish the other side, the other opposing voice, and then the other opposing voice will go away. And of course, that never happens. It's always a, you know, until you get to like a dictatorship, which nobody really wants. I don't think most sane people actually want a dictatorship or a theocracy. When you get to that point, then the other side finally gets vanquished. But, you know, you have to get to that point. So that's, yeah, worship no one, basically. My long way of saying worship no one.
Great parting words. That was Juliet Jetsky, the creator, producer, everything of Decoding Fox News, which we'll have a link. Thank you for being a guest on the show.
Thank you. It's fabulous. I wish the cats weren't so loud.
It's okay.